You are in. You are included in what God has done in Jesus Christ. That's what we highlighted last week. And that's a wonderful truth. You are in. You were even in before you even knew it. Because what Jesus did was before you were born. And he included you in his work, in the gift that he wanted to present all of us, to be in and to be part of what God is doing in Jesus Christ. He is finishing his project of creating a new humanity, a new world. And he has torn down the walls that separated us from one another based on gender and race and tribe and socioeconomic background and religion or any other track record that we may have. The walls that separated us were torn down in Christ. And now he's building this new humanity, this new church, kingdom, or Paul says in our text last week, household, temple. Now, since we're all in, now what? It is quite a diverse group, and it seems that God likes it that way, that we are diverse. But how do we organize this kind of diversity? How does God organize this kind of diversity? How does he prevent it from chaos and from chaotic relationships? Well, listen to the text that we are looking at today. It's coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And I read from the Message so that it gives us a different twist. It may force us to listen to this text differently, since some of us may know it very well. So here it goes. What I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. Remember how you were when you didn't know God, led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everybody else did it? It's different in this life. God wants us to use our intelligence to seek to understand as well as we can. For instance, by using your heads, you know perfectly well that the Spirit of God would never prompt anyone to say, Jesus be damned. Nor would anyone be inclined to say Jesus is Master without the insight of the Holy Spirit. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in one God, in one Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God himself is behind it. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. I want to use two sentences today to capture my message. And I guess it's always easier to remember a sentence than a whole message. So here's the first sentence. Everyone has it, but no one has it all. Everyone has it. Now, just this sentence already raises questions. What do you mean by it? Everyone has it. Well, here it is. That's what our text is all about. Paul picks up where we actually left it off last Sunday. He refers back to who we are before we entered into this life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Here in verse 2, he says, remember how you were when you didn't know God, led from one phony God to another, knowing or never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everybody else did it. So here we were, this kind of people lost, without any orientation. And then this thing happened that Jesus entered into our life, that we heard about him, that he invited us to be in into what he is doing. And that changed everything. Christ now indwells his church through his Spirit. Wow, that's already a mouthful. But that's what the text is trying to say. Christ indwells his church by his Spirit. So that teaches us something already about God. God is existing in more than one person. He exists actually in three persons. One of the greatest mysteries about God, his Trinity, that there is God the Father, there is God Jesus Christ, and there is God the Spirit. And all three are working together in organizing the church. So one main function of the Holy Spirit is to organize this thing, church, with all its diversity. How do we recognize God's Spirit? Well, we recognize him by what he stands for. The Spirit has a distinguishing mark. Paul says it this way here in our text in verse 2 and 3. It's different in this life, he says. God wants us to use our intelligence to seek to understand as well as we can. For instance, by using your heads, you know perfectly well that the Spirit of God would never prompt anyone to say, Jesus be damned. Nor would anyone be inclined to say Jesus is master without the insight of the Holy Spirit. See, God's Spirit always honors Jesus all the time. So this is the Spirit that indwells those who have come to know Jesus Christ and have accepted his invitation to be in what he is doing. And his Spirit is now working in us as we honor Jesus, that we see him for who he is. And in the following verses now of our text, and we don't read the entire text today, but just parts of it, we will see how God is organizing his church, this diversity. And he doesn't use an organizational principle. He uses the metaphor of an organism. Verse 12 and 13 says the following. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells. But no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when you were baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his Spirit. We all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. See, this is how God is organizing diversity, by using this image of body, an intricate body, a body that also points to the whole fact that God is creating a new humanity that he wanted to recreate after Adam and Eve fell. This new body is now indwelled by his Spirit. The Spirit, if you will, is the bloodstream that circulates in all of us. And every part of the body is influenced by the work of his Spirit. And this Spirit is uniting us all. He works in all of us. He introduces us to the Messiah family. And he works in us to sustain our Christian life day by day. This experience cuts through all social divisions or any other divisions that may be there. We are all drinking from that same fountain, as this text said. We all are connected to Christ, and the Spirit of God indwells us all. And when we say everyone has it, then it means the Holy Spirit manifests himself in all of us, in every single member. Every single member that belongs to the body of Christ matters. Every single member is indispensable. Later on, Paul is referring to that as well. He says, if one member is hurting, the whole body is hurting. And we know it pretty well from our own experience. If you have a toothache, your whole body is limited by what you want to do because of this one tooth that is aching. And then Paul is listing several ways how the Spirit is expressing himself in all of us. wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And then a little later he adds prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organizers, and those who pray in tongues. And if you compare all the lists that Paul even gives in this text, no one is complete. He uses different ways of expressing how there are different gifts. And it points to the fact that there is a rich, diverse life in God's people at any place. God builds his church through providing gifts. The gifts are God's gift to each of us for the whole body, the church, through which we can minister to one another and to the people outside of the body of Christ. All gifts originate from God, and he gives it to us as he pleases. So if you're in, God is revealing himself through his Spirit through you, meaning you are important. You are an indispensable part of God's plan and his design. That's how God does it. What that also means then is, although everyone has it, no one has it all. See, there is a variety, a diversity in the body, and we've pointed that out many times. And as I mentioned before, God seems to like it that way. He likes diversity. Just look at nature and you see how God creates so many flowers and colors and everything in multiple forms. And so the same in his body. God loves diversity. And God himself even exists in diversity. As we already pointed out, he exists in God the Father, in God the Spirit, and in God the Son. Therefore, the truth of this text then also is no one has it all. We all have part of it, and God is revealing himself in part through all of us. Although sometimes in our own way of looking at this, we sometimes have those expectations, especially to those who are in leadership, that they need to have it all. They need to have all the gifts united in themselves to be the perfect leader. But see, that's not how it functions, and that's how it should never function. God loves diversity, and you are important as well as I am. Now, when we boil it down to what it means practically, we need to say that the church is corporately equipped by God to function as his body. In order for the body to function, every member is important. All members are important to be at working at their full capacity. We have to learn then to think in terms of a larger context and not just about me and myself as we used to do. Here it was Paul says a little bit later in our text in verse 14. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. It is also true then, according to this text, there is no picking and choosing. God does the picking and choosing, not us. The only thing later on what Paul talks about what we should pick is love. So God sovereignly provides. He says, as it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. We all need to work together, and God has placed you and equipped you the way he wanted it. Isn't that great? Everyone has it, but no one has it all. And now to the final sentence. Diversity creates tension. Therefore, we must learn to listen. Diversity creates tension. Well, that is probably one of the truths that we don't have to explain. If you're married, if you have siblings, you know that you are different, and those differences create tensions. That is normal. This is one of the things that we even teach in any premarital counseling, that you have to embrace that. That is part of living together with another person. However, those tensions can build up to a point where they are hardly to be resolved. Our own pride may lead us to self-importance, and then we start comparing ourselves with others, and so on, and the whole thing will fall apart. Paul warns us in his text in verse 19 and 20. It says, but I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because you are a part of, because of what you are a part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size in its proper place. No part is important on its own. See, the greatest stress that we even create among ourselves and sometimes even among churches is that we demand that everybody needs to see the world as I do see it. Everybody has to approach the problem the way I approach. I have the right way to look at this. I have the best way to approach this. See, this is kind of thinking. And then we judge all the other ones right with it that they are not measuring up. This kind of thinking is always rooted in self-importance and pride. Think of the problems that the church in Corinth has, by the way, where this letter is from and what Paul tried to address. So if there is variety, there are tensions. And tensions are actually good. We need to embrace them. They are normal. But we need to learn how to solve those tensions. How? Here's our sentence. Diversity creates tensions. Therefore, we must learn to listen. Never forget you are a part of a whole. You are part of the body, not the body. As Christ is expressing himself in and through you, so he is expressing himself through the other person. And you need to listen how God is expressing himself to you through your brother and your spiritual sister. It is a blessing to be part of a team. And I enjoy it in these days tremendously that we are a team here at Grace Point and that we can bring in all the different views and aspects, how we solve problems and how we do move forward. I'm so happy for that. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that not everybody is like me. But this is something we need to learn. We need to learn to listen to one another and to see in the other person how God is working in and through this person in order for the whole to work. So we need to learn to listen corporately, to listen to the Spirit. What is God saying through my brother and my sister who may be so different, who may view different things so differently, who is so different in their way, how they act and what they do and what they like and what they dislike? What is God saying? And they have to listen then also to one another. What is God saying through my brother and through my sister? This makes church life interesting. A constant listening to one another, a constant accepting of one another, a constant working together with the plethora of gifts that we have. Now, there is so many to be said to this, but I want to boil it down to this one last question. What does this text mean for us today? And the one truth is God is at work through you. And that's what I want you to take away for now. That's all. God is at work through you. It's interesting that we listen to this text under the present circumstances that we're in. Because usually when we listen to this text, we look at it as a corporate organization, as a local church, and then we try to figure out how do I fit in? How does my gift fit in? And then we often feel like, well, all the positions are taken, all the leadership positions are taken, I have no role to play. But you see, we need to learn, and maybe this forces us to learn, that God's view was much larger than this. God's body is not just the local congregation of a church. Yes, it's part of it, but by far not it. Under the present circumstances, we learn that there is way more to this text than just thinking in terms of local church. The body of Christ is more than that. It is you being the church where you are with the special set of gifts that God has provided for you. Let me say it in a different form. The body of Christ is at work through you in your world where you live. For example, your passionate desire for social justice helps you to be involved in social hotspots and bring truth to those places where truth is needed. Your love for teaching may be expressed by you being a teacher, teaching kids, adults, or wherever you teach, because that's who you are, that's what you love to do. And the body of Christ is expressed through you, through your unique gifting. Your heart of mercy is reaching out to the homeless and the needy. And God has given you this kind of sense of mercy to reach out and this urgency to do something about that. Your hospitality may provide neighbors with a taste of home because you love to cook, you love to have people over, and God is expressing himself, the body of Christ is expressing himself through you. I don't know whether this is really true and all that I can say to this particular part, but listen to me. Your gift for languages may give you the opportunity to immerse yourself in different cultures and reach into different cultures because of your specific gifting in this area. Your desire to bring the good news to people that are living around you may be something that you are using and you should use. Your love for people and to your love for the truth and your love for the good news for them to hear them. You are the one that is on the front line. You love to be there. Maybe that's your specific gift. And then you may have the gift to explain God's words and God's principles to those people who belong to the body of Christ. That's your gift. You don't have to be good at all. You just need to be good in what God has given you. Christ is at work through you right now where you are, church scattered. Accept your unique gifting. Use it where you are. The body is a tool. A body should never be absorbed by caring for itself. A body is there to reach out and to care for and minister to people around us. So what are you good at? How has God gifted you? How is the Spirit expressing himself through you? What do you enjoy? What brings you pleasure? How is God expressing himself through you? Have you ever thought about this? Spend time this week to do that. And then continue this line of thinking. How is God expressing himself through your brother, your sister? What can I learn from her? And how can we best function together as the body of Christ where I live? So let's go. Let's be Christ's body wherever you are. That's my challenge to you for this week. And now I want you to watch this, which will sum up our message of today. Let's pray together. Father, you are so much smarter than we are. How you organize all this is for us a mystery, but you have ways of organizing the diversity. You love diversity. You love each one of us with our unique ways how we are and how we express ourselves. And God, we also have to admit that we sometimes have problems with that because it is not easy often to get along and to accept that there are differences. But as a body of Christ, as your church, we want to learn again to listen to one another because it is through our giftings that you express yourself. Thank you for the variety of gifts that are present among us as a church body. Thank you that we can use our unique giftings right now at this time in our environment where we live. And as we go into this week, Father, I pray that we go into this week with this question, how is it that you want me to serve the people around me through the unique giftings that I have? Thank you that everyone is important. Thank you that no gift is wasted. Thank you that you treasure every single one of us. We are so blessed. So God, go with us, and we pray your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.